Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares with readers insights, stories, and techniques for knowing both our energetic, intuitive nature and the physical reality of everyday life, so we can manifest health, prosperity, and love. Today I welcome Ellie Ho, author of The Story Doesn't Matter, Decoding Your Life's Hidden Message. Hello, Ellie.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thanks. Ellie, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, each show and each guest bring their understanding of both Eastern and Western approaches for healing and for understanding who we are, what life is all about, and how to use our soul presence to create the best physical life experience for ourselves and others. For those who wish to begin or to intensify their own search for inner truth and a way to develop their own spiritual gifts, please feel free to go to my website, CherylGlick.com, or call or contact me. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Ellie and I will explore the fusion of science and spirituality, preventative medicine, and energy medicine in understanding wellness and disease. Ellie received a full inoculation of science at Revell College, UCSD, tempered by a year abroad in Tokyo, followed by a master's degree in public health, working in clinical trials and research at UCSD Department of Preventative Medicine was pure science in action, and yet she didn't feel that her understanding of disease was complete. We will try today to discover what was missing. Ellie, I regularly ask my guests to take a moment to remember a childhood memory that might explain the work, values, and interest that they hold dear now as an adult, for I have often found that our life plan, destiny, and soul nature are evident at a very early age. Can you tell us?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, indeed. It's amazing how those early times come and visit us again later on with so much more depth. And I was very fortunate in a way to grow up with a mother who was already very well attuned to both Eastern and Western spirituality. And I remember as a very, very young child already doing yoga, playfully, of course. But I was probably 3, 4. And it's so amusing to me that my yoga practice nowadays, of course, is a completely different level, but I certainly reflect back on this. We had this really old photocopied book of yoga poses, and it had mainly animal-inspired poses, and it's something that I think back to very fondly, and of course, that led into the prayerful meditation practice, and how important actually those two in my life are now that come together, and the stillness that I receive from first yoga and meditation and combined, and it's been really a lifelong journey in that way.
Now, you know, you just said that you started yoga at a very young age, and it's funny, but when I returned to teaching in the New York City schools about 15 years ago, I planned to be there for about 10 years, but I only spent 2 years, and if the school system had changed very much from the time before when I had been there. And I was very interested in my own spiritual development, and it wasn't possible for me to continue it when I was in that environment. But I do remember saying to the principal, because he was very innovative, and the school had many grants to try new programs, I said, if you really want to make a big change, you need to bring in a yoga program for every child here. The children were dealing with many health issues, many emotional and family issues, and by that time I saw that it was a way to return to a time of peace and gentleness that many people, adults and children, were missing in their environment. And it's funny you brought that up, and it just triggered a response in me. And I do think it still could be a very powerful way for every child to learn to go within and to truly feel at ease in their body, which is what many children are missing today. Now, you mentioned that you had a complex family situation. Would you tell us about that?
I will, and I would. Where do I start? That's always a good question. Of course, as all family complex situations arise, I could start probably generations ago as things go. My mother had a very difficult childhood, and bits and pieces, of course, she was a child in the war. She was born in Berlin in 1945, and her father was in Germany. He was a German soldier fighting for the Hitler government. It was very, very difficult, of course. Her mother gave birth to her in a bunker hospital, and there's stories that she tells that are, you know, like from a completely different world, from a completely different book. And surely there's a lot of things that I reflect upon intergenerationally, how that information has trickled and now manifested in this complexity, complex family situation, and which does revolve primarily around my mother, my relationship with my mother. And it was one where I would say it was rather competitive. Even though there was love there was this underlying competitiveness, particularly around raising my children. And I felt that I was never good enough. And this seems like it's a very minor thing. People could just say, oh, why can't you just shake that off? But she was very much involved in our lives. And on a daily basis, the energy in that system just grew to such an intensity that she could be saying, you know, the sky is blue, and I would just blow my lid, because something within me was so irritated and so agitated.
As you just told the background of her beginning and the philosophy that was still probably prevalent when she was growing up as a young child, she was probably looking in your family with your children to live a different way, a better way, a more loving way, but it was hard for you because she still brought in so much of her own trauma to her.
Absolutely.
Her everyday. And this is what this show is about, healing from within. We are all influenced by the traumas of our childhood, and we spend the whole rest of our life trying to dig out from the falseness and the misrepresentation and the information that may have been given to us in good faith, but it wasn't actually good for our development or our purpose. We all come in with a life plan and a destiny. So I think she actually helped you find a way towards discovering healing on a bigger level, which can help so many people. And you just described perhaps how it happened. Tell us something about where you live and work now and before, and the purpose of writing your book, The Story Doesn't Matter.
Great. So currently, we are in San Diego, California. After a bit of a life journey, our whole family 2 years ago decided to give up everything, our house, our cars, our pets, friends. I mean, you can't really give up friends, but and to really just let go of life as we knew it, because we knew we had come to a point catalyzed by this relationship with my mother to really start over. So we are now currently in San Diego, but the actual writing of the book started in the midst of this complete turnover of our whole family's life. And it was so inopportune. I didn't sit down one day and say, oh, yes, I feel like I have enough information and life experience that I want to share this. But it actually came in a dream. It was a dream. We had just moved into an apartment, put our house on the market in North Carolina. And one night I woke up, and it was a crystal clear dream, and I was in it with another energy worker friend of mine, and she and I had this clear conversation, and she was pregnant and said, the baby is due on August 15th. And what really struck me about that was, of course, the birth being indicative in a dream world often of a project, but the clarity of that date really just jarred me because I've never had a dream where somebody has told me so clearly that something big is going to happen on a specific date. Yeah, at that moment, I actually didn't know what it was. But then we end up selling the house, moving to Europe for 3 months. And when there's so many crazy things were happening in Europe, it was amazing. We had just opened up our whole life, of course, to possibilities. And one morning I woke up again from a really clear dream, and I turned to my husband. I said, I'm going to write a book, and the story is, the story doesn't matter. And he looked at me and went, okay, you know, like, you come up with a lot of really crazy ideas. A lot of amazing things have happened, but this is pretty clear. Okay, you know, thanks for sharing. And when, of course, a couple of days later, I kept wondering, why do I keep hearing this so loudly, this voice inside of me resonating these words? Of course, I looked back on the calendar, and it was April. You know what? It was actually August 15th. Did I just say April? I am so sorry. It was August 15th. And which does not deter from the preciousness of your granddaughter's birth, but it was August 15th because we had just gotten to Europe at the end of summer. So that was really placed into my awareness from somewhere that I did not intend consciously to be a part of this, but the information, I was living through the information more and more where I would experience something. For example, one of our children would come in from playing outside and say, this has happened, and so-and-so took away my scooter. And I would stop them and say, wait, just a moment. If the story didn't matter, what really does matter? And it seemed to be this ongoing ability to stop the story, you know, stop energizing whatever laments and traumas and dramas and things that were going on both in my own lives and in my clients' lives, and I would let them speak for a little while and then just say, just wait a moment, but what if it isn't the story? What lies underneath? And being able to objectify these difficulties, these challenges that we've come here to experience and really take it to a deeper level opened up the pages and the stories that then, of course, became this book.
All right, so the story doesn't matter means that there is more to us than our physical life and everyday experience, and it's deep within us. And as we access that connection to universal source or energy or worlds of life and times and places, we begin to know we're much more than we appear to be. And yes, that's what I sense that you're discussing here. And you have also participated in hands-on healing, hands-on training, and you are a life coach from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York.
That was fortunately an online course that I did through North Carolina, and it's phenomenal. I would recommend anybody who has an interest in nutrition and holistically approaching healing through food, but not only food, but nourishing ourselves through spirituality and relationships and exercise to look into that program. But yes, my interest has really been always this bridge, not only coming from a spiritual aspect point of view, which I did have very, very early on, but at some point, and I was just rereading a chapter in my book where I talk about this, that similarly to how medicine doesn't quite, to me, get to the source of the disease, sometimes I feel like spirituality or religion in particular puts this cap on how things are. And so coming from to a question from many different points of view, so for me, approaching the question of who am I and what lies underneath all these stories that we tell, I felt and I found that quantum physics, even though I cannot tell you the exact mechanisms, I am not a particle physicist, but I have this overwhelming understanding of the wonder that quantum physics and the possibilities that quantum physics brings back into our world.
Yeah, that's because we're energy and everything around us is vibrating at a level of energy, and
exactly.
Quantum physics, science and spirituality and religion have the pieces of the puzzle, but we have to put them all together to really understand more about who we are and what healing is really all about. What you just said there was that medicine addresses just the symptoms, allopathic medicine, but we are much more than the physical body, so we must address the spirit, the karma, the past, the future, and what's happening right now, all at one, because it's all vibrating in this quantum physics of energy. And that's why disease, meaning when you're not comfortable within your body will eventually project an illness or a symptom. But it's all part and part of the mind giving us thought processes, and then the body believing it. So we must address all these levels of multidimensional healing to get to a true understanding of what we are, what healing is about. And I think that's what your search was for. Now, you also mentioned Divination 101, receiving and translating messages from the universe. Are you an intuitive medium? Would you practice transcendental meditation?
What I call myself is an intuitive nutritionist,
Oh,
and yes, I have been honing that intuitive aspect for many years. And whether it's a premonition, somebody's about to tell me something I already know, or something's about to happen, there's a lot of feelings, a lot of pictures that I do get very intuitively. But more specifically, what happens is if we're having a conversation about, let's say, your diet and lifestyle, I'm able to hear and intuit on a completely different level. Like if you're telling me you have a craving for beets and avocados, for example, this sounds funny, but this is related to the story. It doesn't matter. You're telling me, you enjoy eating beets and avocados at this time of day with your friends or with your husband or maybe alone. And there's something that happens with the words and the energy with which that conversation, it's not a physical or a seeing, it's a very intuitive
It's
knowing.
it's a knowing because you are downloading information from that high dimensional field. You are connected to a spirit, and you are very intuitive, and it's coming out for you in the way of helping people nutritionally. Now, in my new book, The Living Spirit Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, I explain how each person receives information from higher energy differently, and you're just showing that you are doing that. And I wrote, through my readings as an intuitive healer, clients begin to understand their spiritual connections to a higher dimension where souls who depart their physical body now reside and communicate with all souls on the earth plane. Some individuals, more sensitive than others, are receiving very complex messages. There is a unique energetic sphere of continuous knowledge beyond earth. It is the point where the past, present, and future merge, and there is only energy. It is through a physical life that we once again begin to understand the strength and power of our divine energetic being to manifest the best results in our everyday physical and spiritual lives. So we may incorporate healing energy sessions as a catalyst for self-improvement and to also improve the quality of interactions with others. So everybody has a spiritual gift. And yours comes out your
Absolutely.
way and mine. And many people are using it. They're not even aware that there is
Right.
this help around them, and they are getting continuous influx of guidance and information. But it really doesn't matter. As long as we're growing and evolving and developing and evolving as better, more humane human beings, then everybody benefits, this world and beyond this world. Now, I am aware that you talk about borderline personalities disorders, and I have been interested in helping people understand that it is a very serious problem. And for the most part, people who are afflicted with this often can cause much chaos in their home, work life, and it's hard to see much change in their behavior, no matter what the therapy. So, in other words, it's a really challenging situation. Can you tell us anything about this? Some people may be dealing with and not even be aware of what
Be
they're
aware of
dealing
it,
with.
right. Yeah, I can absolutely tell you that. And this is the case, of course, what I felt at that, a few years ago, what I was dealing with, particularly with respect to my mother. And how I came upon this is that I had gone to a psychotherapist and just poured my heart out, of course. And at the end of the session, he said, "Are you aware, you know, that this is probably borderline personality disorder?" And I had no idea at that moment, and I went ahead and read a few books. An excellent book I would highly recommend is called Walking on Eggshells. And basically, this is something that, of course, medicine has clinically described as a set of symptoms that that makes people very attached to you, very controlling, very, on one hand, very controlling, very attached, but then also very triangulating relationships.
That's a good description. Yes, excellent. And these women with this disorder are at risk for many problems. They're dissatisfied. They're always looking for more or coerce other people into relationships with them. And it seems like once they get a filter into you or an energy connection to you, it's very hard to disengage from their
extremely right. But what I would love to add to that, and you explained that very, very well, it's really, really, really difficult to be in a close relationship with anybody. And that was where my journey started. But of course, the power of it is, and you mentioned something about it, standard therapy, I mean, psychotherapy and cognitive behavior therapy has had some effectiveness with people who have borderline personality disorder. But really the power and the beauty of working with energy on the level that you and I and so many people of your listeners are aware of or are seeking to look beyond just the psychotherapy and the medicines that are, you know, available to us. And for me, what came in was this thing called Ho'oponopono. And this is a Hawaiian old shamanistic way of making things right. And the power of this is as I went within myself to examine how this relationship and this manifestation of what we call borderline personality disorder affected me, I cleared and cleared and cleared and cleared so many layers that were attached, that had an attachment to that person and to that energy, that I really feel that that is the only way for us to renew or to let go of not only the effect, the way that it affects us, but in letting go and cleaning ourselves, it actually allows that person to dissociate with all those symptoms and those characteristics. And that, to me, is the most powerful part of this, that if we label things, and you know, the more we call somebody stupid or call somebody, particularly the negative labels, but even the other labels, are so defining and there's so much energy around them that the more we work at dissolving that within ourselves, and again, for me, the method was through Ho'oponopono, which many people may be familiar with, but really is just three statements. I'm sorry, please forgive me, and I love you, but always directed only towards yourself.
Ellie, I want to thank you for that wonderful, wonderful projection of love. You just answered what healing is about and how even the most difficult challenges can be won. And it is to decode the hidden meaning behind our events and the people in our lives, to really remember who we are. Because it's not about your spouse, your mother, your kids, your boss, your car. It's not about your disease, diabetes perhaps, or your mother. It is to look deeper and know the truth. And as we shine light on these underlying beliefs, we can all learn our true life purpose and awaken to true radiance, which is what you bring in with your healing. And I want to thank you, Ellie Ho, author of The Story Doesn't Matter, for the spirit of radiance that your work and soul presence bring into the lives of those you meet. For more information on this interesting, unique approach to learning more about yourself and the universe, please go to ellieho.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have really describe the infinite possibilities for working past challenging childhood interactions with family and perhaps friends to find a host of healing energies and techniques that support us in our inner spiritual development, and that is the development of our soul, and to support our accomplishments in our everyday physical experience, no matter how much changes or how much unexpected calamity may focus or come into our life, because we are going beyond the interests of others to explore ourselves and to become more empowered, loving humans. As Gandhi once said, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. Therefore, developing your inner sense of peace, compassion, and love for yourself and for whatever transpires in your life is to consider it not good or bad, but just an opportunity for your own personal evolution. Ellie and I would hope you to begin, if you have not already begun, to explore your own goals and desires and wishes one by one with perseverance, consistency, and dedication. Master them all. It may not happen overnight, and there may be side or backtracking, but if you remember, whatever intentions you make may ultimately come to fruition and manifest if you will continue just moving forward with positive values, thinking, feelings, and actions, and trusting yourself no matter what. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to authors in the fields of spirituality, health, alternative energy healing, preventative medicine, metaphysics, the arts, and education. Also go to DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you very much.